from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
For the best Ravens coverage. It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. News from the Nest. Ravens, they win the preseason game number 2, 13-12 over Atlanta down at M&T Bank Stadium. Green Bay this weekend. Ravens back on the practice field this afternoon. Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, among others, going to meet with the media, so we'll hear from them tomorrow on the show. But John Harbaugh talking about some things relating to his team this past weekend, including Adisa Isaac.
Yeah, same. I mean, he was a factor, you know, rushing the passer and run game. He's a big guy, you know, he's explosive. He's not as far along as David is as far as the conditioning part of it, because he had the hamstring. And so he's going to be sore tomorrow, I'm quite sure. Hopefully we can get him back in time for next week, just because, you know, that's tough to get out there and work that kind of play in a real game with that kind of explosives and that kind of speed and all that. It's hot out there without as much conditioning. So I do worry about that a little bit with him, but I'm happy about the way he plays. Sure look good. He's kind of got his start there.
And Bob, I mean, just listen to that. I mean, if you're going to be miss a whole week, to me, that may be more like he tweaked his hammy than he's just going to be sore for a week. I mean, the soreness, yeah, that goes away the next day. It'll be interesting to see when the report comes out today who's practicing and who's not practicing. If Isaac's not practicing, I'm guessing it probably is a hammy. And he's had it 3 different times with the Ravens.
Now, based on what we saw from him Saturday prior to him leaving in the second half, as John Harbaugh said, showed some explosiveness. He did have production at Penn State last season. And, you know, if he could stay healthy and he gets the conditioning up to where they'd like it to be, you know, could he be someone that, as the season progresses, becomes an asset? Not only in pass rushing, maybe even setting the edge a little bit for him.
Yeah, I think he's strong enough to set the edge. I mean, because Tavius Robinson will be an edge setter. Malik Harrison will be an edge run player. Those two will be run players. And then with Adisa Isaac, he could be your fourth guy helping in the pass rush. So, yeah, I mean, he needs to get himself, like Harb said, in better shape and condition and stuff. And then he'll even be more explosive. And you improve a lot from game 1 to game 2. It's the first time he's played in a game in a long, long time.
And speaking of guys that we'd like to see show some explosiveness as he enters his third year in the league, it is David Ajabo. So, John, your impressions there?
Seemed like he was out there and was a factor. You know, looked like he was really stout against the run. Thought he set some edges really well. Mm-hmm. Had his eyes back inside, falling back when the ball tried to get in the C-gap a few times. And then pass rush was a factor out there. Had some pressures. He looked good.
I totally agree. I thought he looked as good as he's looked since he's been a Raven. Because it even showed where he could bend the corner a little bit, which he hadn't showed in the past. In the past, he's looked more mechanical. This game, he looked more natural, which is a big plus because he's got a couple more weeks to keep working on it. And it sounds like, you know, last week, towards the end of the week in practice, really stepped it up. And then in the game, did well. And he's going to have a bunch of confidence from that now. And hopefully it just continues. And then his week in Green Bay, hopefully he has a big week in Green Bay.
Now, he's basically on two redshirt years.
Yes.
In Baltimore. Now, we go to back to his rookie season. Didn't really expect much because he was hurt. You were just happy that he even made the field at the end of the season. But last year, hopes were high. Then he hurts his knee. And now we revisit, you know, possible, you know, if I circle five sacks for David Ojabo, is that an ambitious number, or is that something that could be realistic, if not even exceeding that in 24?
Bob, with Ojabo, I could see a guy that gets better as the season goes on, the more his leg even gets stronger and feels better. So five sacks for him. I mean, last year when we were talking at this time, we were saying 10 plus.
Sure.
So if he could come up with five, that's a bonus. I mean, Bob, while you were gone, I was talking about the way he was looking at practice and stuff, saying maybe he's on that short-term IR to start the season because he wasn't in practice. I mean, he was definitely showed that he had an issue with his leg, and, you know, it's come along good. So five for him, I mean, that's the most always ever gotten.
Sure.
And always been, Bob, he's been the best player at camp, always. Every day he does, he dominates somehow, somebody. He's got a nice little spin move now. And can it carry over? That's the whole thing. I mean, I love him at training camp. Can he do it in a game?
Yeah, proceed with caution, I guess.
Yes.
With
both.
Adape Owe and David Ojabo. And if they could, and I'm stating the obvious, everybody, if they could combine for 15 sacks, then things aren't as dire, I would assume, in regards to the pass rush. Assuming Van Noy could still be productive, I would be surprised, quite frankly, Vinny, if Matabike duplicates the 13, but double digits, I don't think that's far-fetched.
No, and I could see, Bob, that like in some nickel-and-dime situations, that they put Matabike on the outside to help them with rush and stuff. So that could be a possibility too. I would think, Bob, that they've got a better chance of going out looking for a offensive guard than they do a pass rusher. Because, you know, look at how many pass rush guys have signed over the last few weeks. And, I mean, almost all of the guys that have tried out are gone. So Ngakoue is one, but they wouldn't sign him. So I think they're going definitely with their guys, period.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan News from the Nest here on this Monday. Josh Johnson, he was 11 for 11 in Saturday's win, including a touchdown pass to Owen Wright. And here's Harbs talking about his veteran backup quarterback.
Yeah, I thought he played really well. I mean, Josh did a great job, guys, on a few plays here and there. Had a chance to move the team down the field twice really well. Had the unfortunate snap, would be the kindest word I could use to say, to give it. But that stopped the one drive, so the first one. So, yeah, I thought Josh played well.
I thought he played good, you know, Josh Johnson. I mean, you're 11 for 11. You drive them each time. And for what they need him to be, and he made a first down with his legs, I think they're probably extremely happy with how he played, and they feel totally comfortable going into Kansas City with two quarterbacks.
Yeah, because as you've been talking and Cordell been out there, the backup quarterback situation, not ideal.
Nope.
Because Lamar missed a few days of training camp, but are we a little more? Again, Lamar gets hurt, and for an extended period of time, Ravens are screwed.
Yes.
Unless Derrick Henry rushes for 2,500 yards and they get 70 sacks or something crazy like that. But are we a little more comfortable with Josh Johnson getting a firmer grasp on the offense, knowing that, hey, if he's got to go game and a half, you know, the Ravens are going to be in an okay situation?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say it that way. But like you said, Bob, anything more where he's got to play 2 to 6 games, no, they're going to be in trouble. But he's going to be able to manage a game.
That game manager sometimes can work if you got the defense to make it hold up. When we come back, we're going to count some money, a little buy or sell style. 12:30, going to start looking at some of the bubble guys as we get into projecting the 53-man Ravens roster. Coming up at 12:45, it's a fun house trip with Nolan McGraw as we missed it last hour. And then Brian DiArda from CBSSports.com. He's going to have some NFL lunch with us as we talk about not necessarily what's happening here in Baltimore, but around the league. Joe Burrow's getting a lot of buzz here as being a super terrific guy. Interesting haircut, but I would think rust has got to be a factor, and they've got a little drama contract-wise in Cincinnati, too.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Finney and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Finney and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We'll visit his funhouse here in a few minutes. Orioles in New York tonight, taking on the Mets. Tim Britton covers the Mets for The Athletic. He'll be joining us at 1:30. And we'll be talking some NFL with Brian Brian DiArda from CBS Sports at the top of the hour. But, you know, a lot going on in the world of athletics, professional, college, and otherwise. We'll get into all of that and more. But right now, let's count that early week money. A little by yourself.
Now, last week, outstanding week. This week, the Dow's up 169. S&P's up 23. NASDAQ's up 67. DraftKings down 27 cents. Under Armour up 17 cents, 789.
All right, we'll start here in the AFC North, actually talk about the Browns. Their success this year, it's going to hinge greatly on the health and overall quality of Deshaun Watson. A few years into that record-setting contract, the results, at least postseason for him, individual results, they haven't been there. And as of right now, the plan is for him to get some reps in Cleveland's final preseason game as a tune-up for week one. How much he plays remains to be seen, but what we do know is the Browns' offensive line is far from full strength. Your starters there, Jedrick Wills, Jack Conklin, they're both still rehabbing from injuries they suffered last year. And a good handful of their backups that are been getting a majority of the reps here in the preseason, they got banged up over the weekend in their recent game. Vinny, buy or sell, the Browns should not send Watson out there behind this O-line for a game that doesn't matter.
I would, I'll buy that. I'll buy it. I mean, for 10 plays or whatever, it's not worth the risk because the dude's coming off of an injury anyhow. And you just got to go on because they've had a couple practices against other teams and stuff. So I think that should be plenty.
Well, the fact that they want to play him in general kind of tells you how they view him at this point. I mean, most star quarterbacks, it's not even a consideration. You're not playing at all. So for him to make that money and still be in line to play in the preseason. Let's see.
Unless he's throwing behind-the-back passes like right. A certain number 15. God.
Yeah, well, Purdy played the other day with all backups, no receivers, no nothing, and they stunk up the joint.
Yeah, it wasn't Purdy.
Yeah.
A little baseball here. Rangers starter Jacob DeGrom. He's actually going to start pitching again this week, at least in a rehab capacity. Remember, he had to undergo Tommy John surgery last April, but will now have his 30-day window opened up for his potential return. Players can rehab within those 30 days before a final roster decision has to be made by the team. That would put DeGrom in line to return to the majors by mid-September or late September at the latest. However, the Rangers, they're pretty much out of the wild card race right now. Barring some sort of incredible run, they won't be back in it by the time he's pitching again. But buy or sell, Bob, it's not worth it for DeGrom to return for just one or two starts.
I'm going to sell it because maybe he wants to compete, find out if he could still get people out at the major league level, and if he feels as though that he's healthy enough to pitch and the medical professionals deem that he is ready to do so, get a glimpse of what 2025 could bring to the equation for Jacob DeGrom because it looks like Scherzer's not coming back anytime soon as he's dealing with stuff. Yeah, the Texas Rangers, I'm not going to go out on a limb, but I'm going to think that they will not be defending their World Series championship this year.
We'll stay in, go back to the NFL. Throughout NFL draft history, there's a few years that stand out in particular when you look at the quarterback class and how stacked it is. 1983, a record 6 quarterbacks were taken in the first round, 3 going on to make the Hall of Fame. Of course, Elway, Kelly, and Marino. Then you have 2004, a trio of future Hall of Famers, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger. Can any recent quarterback class live up to that kind of quality? Well, some people are already pointing at 2020. You got 5 quarterbacks there that have already received big contract extensions. Love, Burrow, Herbert, Hurts, and Tagovailoa. Of course, no Super Bowl hardware yet or MVPs, but Burrow and Hurts have been to the big game. Buy or sell, Vinny, the 2020 class is capable of being considered the greatest in NFL history.
Yeah, I'll soft buy that. I tell you what, the class, this group here may be pretty good too. I mean, it's kind of looking like they're going to be pretty good. So I think there's going to be, you know, in the 20s, there'll be a couple quarterback groups that are going to be really good.
Hey, that 18 with Lamar and Josh Allen's okay. The other one. And Baker's right. Having a nice, solid career. Yeah. But the Josh Rosen's, the Darnold's, et cetera, maybe not so much.
Staying in the NFL, last week Doug Peterson said the Jaguars' backup quarterback battle was really close between Mac Jones and C.J. Beathard. Of course, Beathard has the familiarity advantage being in Jacksonville for 3 years, but Jones carries that former first-round status and a different contract, if we're being honest. He's set to make $2.7 million guaranteed this year, while Beathard doesn't have any guarantees at all in his base salary. In fact, he would save the team just shy of $2 million by being cut. Peterson will likely keep the competition storyline going, even though Jones was tremendous over the weekend. But buy or sell, Bob, the contracts have already decided who will be the backup.
Well, I'll soft by that. Mac Jones throwing two touchdown passes helped his cause. He'll get the advantage because of draft status, the financials, and we've seen, look, national championship winning quarterback in college helped get New England to the playoffs as a rookie, and so far it looks like he's played acceptably. I think he'll earn the job on the merit of his performance on the field. Nolan, how's that sound?
And Beathard got hurt Saturday. I don't know how bad, but he got hurt. That's why Mac Jones had to come back in.
So everything shakes out there for a reason. We'll close with this. Tight end play. Look at Cole Kmet. Not a guy that's considered top three, top five at his respective position, but developing into a very, very solid starter. Has yet to reach 1,000 yards, but he'll get you 700 and be a consistent red zone threat. Keep in mind, he's done all this throughout his career with nothing but inconsistency at the quarterback position. Now he's got a flashy new rookie throwing him the ball and a lot more star power around him in that offense. Just wide receivers alone with Allen, Adunze, and of course DJ Moore. Buy or sell, Vinny, Kmet will still be able to maintain his usual production despite having more mouths to feed in that offense.
Oh, I'd definitely buy that. I think the tight end, I think he'll still get his 700 yards and he'll get his targets, especially for a rookie quarterback.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. We'll come back, start projecting the Ravens' 53-man roster, talk about some of the bubble players heading into the final preseason weekend of 2024. We're going to take a run at that fun house with Nolan McGraw. And then next hour, we got the American League East reporter around 1:15. Tim Britton, we'll talk about the Mets with him from The Athletic at 1:30. And as we said, Brian DiArdo from CBSSports.com, talk NFL with Brian. Who is the team most likely to unseat Kansas City as the Super Bowl champions, as the Chiefs are looking to become the first team ever to win three straight Super Bowl? 13-12, and the question was, young players being in the game in that situation, getting a stop, Tavius Robinson, mm-hmm. won the two-point conversion. They did, however, allow Atlanta to score a touchdown that put them in a position. Yeah.
They were just getting run over and going down there.
To go for two. But to answer John Harbaugh's question, Vinny, young players getting that experience in the final 2 minutes, the good and the bad that comes with it.
Well, the good that comes with it, if they're in that situation, you know, if they're on your team and they're in that situation during the regular season, they've been there and done that before. So the bad, I don't know that there's any bad. Otherwise, I mean, because most of those guys, Bob, that if they go down and score on you that easy like that in the fourth, how many of those guys are going to be on the team? That's the thing. I mean, I think it's, you know, great that Tavius made a play. I mean, he was unblocked. He should make that play.
Sure. Now, as we look at the Ravens 53-man roster projected, and we'll do this exercise throughout the week, we look at quarterbacks. By the way, ESPN had their positional group rankings, best and worst, as they do every year. And at quarterback, Ravens come in at number 3. And this, you know, the starters, but Kansas City 1 with Patrick Mahomes, Buffalo, Josh Allen 2, Baltimore 3, and we just talked about Josh Johnson, the job he did. But Ravens are going with, I mean, Emory Jones threw the touchdown pass on the double move by the receiver, which was great. Leary's got a nice arm to work with, but, you know, he had turnover problems at Kentucky. So we're going with
2. There's no question. 100% they're going with 2, Bob. And then they'll put either Emory Jones or Leary on the practice squad, or maybe both on the practice squad. Or if somebody, I don't know why anybody would claim either one of those guys, but one for sure be on the practice squad, maybe 2, but they are only keeping 2 quarterbacks.
Now, at running back, positional ranking from ESPN, 49ers, Lions, Atlanta, Seattle, Jets, Philly, and then the Ravens coming in at number 7, where, you know, Derrick Henry is going to be the dude. Justice Hill is going to be his backup. But how are things shaking out after that? We were talking about a little bit earlier with Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun. I mean, Owen Wright, I guess, would have a leg up, no pun intended, on Rasheen Ali. Is there anyone else that could pop? There's, well, as you've discussed and we've mentioned many times, there's no Keaton Mitchell.
Right. If Keaton Mitchell was there, Bob, they'd be ranked a lot higher.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he would be probably the second runner. They might not have needed Derrick Henry, if you want to think about it.
That's what we talked about last week.
Yeah, but given this, this is what they have. It's Henry, it's Justice Hill, and how many others here?
Well, I say, including Ricard, they keep four. And then they'll put one on a pregnant. I still think, Bob, all right, Owen Wright, I think they'll put Ali on the practice squad, is what I think, because I think he'll go through waivers. Nobody will pick him up. But I still think that the third running back right now may not even be on the team yet. He's on somebody else's team.
Yeah, and as Brian said earlier, like a reunion with Dalvin Cook, that's not happening.
No but way.
There are others that, we'll wait till cutdown day to see who becomes available. And you like what you saw from the Bears there.
I did. I did. And Norm, have you watched Hard Knocks?
Not yet. I got to catch up.
Yeah. And you haven't seen it yet either, right? Nah. Yeah. I tell you what, Bob. It's good. I kind of enjoyed the Chicago Bears one. I've seen two episodes, and it comes on Tuesday nights, I think. But, yeah, it's good. And tell you what, the number 12 and 33, the kid from Howard, I was impressed because he can fly. He's fast, too, and he's got some size to him. He ran really good in their second preseason game. Because they played in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. By the way, the Bears running back room coming in here.
Swift.
At number 16.
Okay.
According to ESPN.com and their team of experts, wide receiver. This is where things you can understand a little bit. 26th for the Ravens, and we know that Bateman's been banged up again. But Zay Flowers primed for a big sophomore season. And then we just kind of Aguilar knows his role. Anthony Miller, as we talked about again a couple hours ago, he's been a nice surprise, even though he's relatively new to the team. How many wide receivers are rolling there? And, hey, I haven't really heard much about Tez Walker last couple of weeks.
That's because he's been hurt. I could see, Bob, if his ribs are still sore. And what they may do with him, Bob, is kind of keep him out and then put him on IR for the four games. Because he was really good at the OTAs and the mini camp. You noticed him. You noticed his speed. I mean, when you're out there now, no. I mean, he doesn't play with rib pain very well. Because he doesn't look like he's running fast. He's not ready. I think they keep six, Bob. And I think I would, if I'm a betting man, I'm putting Tez Walker on IR, short-term IR. Or maybe it's the whole year. I don't know. But they'll have their three with Bateman, Aguilar, and Flowers. And then whoever the return, like if Hardy's going to be the return guy, then that's four. And Wallace is a special team guy. That's five. And then one more. Is it Miller that makes it? Or is it Wade? Wade's been playing good. So Miller or Wade would be the sixth guy because they've got some, you can't have all your receivers be your special teams guy. You know, Wallace is a special team guy, but he's been making some catches.
Yeah. Nice throw from Johnson on Saturday.
And then Hardy, if he's your return guy, you got to get him involved in the pass game somehow.
Now, what about Bateman? What was the talk about him last week? He's dealt with yet another injury.
Oh, I was out there, Bob. He came back on Monday, a week ago, and you could tell his ribs were sore. Like, he'd reach out and, grab. And then, they did one-on-ones. He got up there first time. And he made a quick move, and then he just took his helmet off, and that was it for the rest of the day. But then they didn't practice in pads the next couple of days, and he was out there. But prior to that, Bob, the first week that you were gone, he was phenomenal. He was best I'd ever seen him. He was aggressive, attacking. Lamar was running down the field, patting him on the head and everything. It was what you wanted.
Sure.
And then he makes a great play, falls out of ball, and hurts his ribs. In the end zone. So, I mean, that's kind of the situation that you're in there. But, I mean, if he could play like he played, and Bob, it looked like in that practice, they said, we're throwing to Bateman today. Because he caught like five balls and he's running around people and doing everything. And it was like, yeah, that's what we want to see. And that's what they've got to hope that they have all the time, because he showed what they need him to be.
It's 88-80-1057, the Fan, talking some Ravens depth chart and positional rankings as seen by ESPN.com. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Tight ends, Ravens positional ranking is number two behind Kansas City, and it's all about Travis Kelce and the fun stuff that he brings to the equation. Any room at the end for Kadri's kid, the Missile Jr.?
Yeah, you know, Bob, I mean, he's been making some plays out there. He's gotten better, and I think he's probably gotten comfortable with playing tight end, whereas in college, he was this is a kid that was a quarterback in high school, and his blocking is just so-so at best. But he catches the ball extremely well. He runs. I think he'll be a practice squad guy, because I don't see any room at the end. I think they keep three. If they kept a fourth, the guy's not on the team yet, because they need a blocker. And if Charlie Kohler can't block, I don't know what good he's really going to be, because they need him to be a blocker. They don't have, if there's a guy like Oliver out there, that's what they need, because they don't have a blocking tight end.
Now, here's where the problem is with the Ravens offensively. Offensive line.
Big time.
And they're rated number 23 as a unit by ESPN.com. By the way, Detroit coming in a number one. And we know the candidates. We know that they have some problemos here. So, Vinny, give us the offensive line, the starters, and who are going to be the key backups, at least as the roster sits on August the 19th.
All right. To me, the starters. And, Bob, you got to keep 9 or 10. And I'm having a hard time finding that. I mean, you got Ronnie Stanley, you got Falele, that's two. You got Voorhees, that's three. Rosengarten is four. McCary's five. Linderbaum is six. Then after that, you know, I guess Josh Jones, he started at left tackle. So I'm, you know, at the last preseason game. So I guess that could be one. And then Cleveland, they're having him play. I've seen him at practice play right tackle. I've seen him play center. I've seen him play guard. So, you know, is that your, what, eighth guy? I mean, Bob, I'm nervous about the backup. I mean, I'm nervous about the starters, but I'm really nervous about the backups.
It's funny what a year's made for Sala. A year ago at this time, he was kind of sort of competing for the starting left guard job, which he eventually lost. Now he's a guy, is he on the bubble?
I would say absolutely. And Bob, the problem, I don't know if he didn't lift with his lower body at all, but he doesn't play strong in the lower body at all. And he doesn't do anything. He's been probably one of my most disappointing guys. And last year he was one of the guys that he was alternating with the ones.
Yep.
And now it's like he's not even, I don't even think anybody's mentioned his name.
We just did, and not in a positive light. It's 5880-1057. The Fan, if you're on the phones, we'll get you when we come back. We're going to take a trip to the Funhouse. We got NFL lunch coming up 1 o'clock, American League East Report. And then we're going to talk about the Mets. They're in wild card contention there in the National League. They host the Orioles, start of a 3-game series. Tim Britton from The Athletic talks about New York. They had that opportunity to make a little bit of a run. They've had a ton of injuries. The offense is kind of tepid for them. Are we judging this as a disappointing season for New York, especially after last year's debacle? American League East Report coming up at 1:15. Detroit did the Orioles a solid last night. Williamsport, and we'll talk about the Mets, who host the Orioles, 3-game set with Tim Britton from The Athletic coming up around 1:30. Let's get a couple calls in, however, before we hit the old Funhouse with Nolan McGraw. Go to Middle River, and it's Greg. Greg, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, this is Greg from Middle River. How y'all guys doing?
Doing all right, Greg from Middle River.
Benny, I want to ask you, what is your prediction for the state of the Ravens linebackers? Because the reason I'm asking is I remember watching guys like Jack Youngblood and Kevin Green, Ray Lewis. I mean, these guys were instinctive. Even Randy White, they could play the run, you know what I mean, and you know, they could rush the passer too. I mean, has the teaching gone from, you know, teaching guys how to, you know, play the run and tackle, or were they, those guys just a different breed?
The guys you're talking about are Hall of Famers.
And Jack Youngblood and Randy White were defensive linemen, yeah. But, you know.
But let me just say this, like the Ravens linebackers, Roquan's instinctive as anybody. And I think Simpson's better instincts than Queen had. So I think they're going to be fine with those guys, you know. And then with Ajabo, it's been injuries. With Owe, this is a make it or break it for him. I mean, he needs for his pocketbook, too, he needs a breakout year. And for the Ravens, they need a breakout year for him. They need 8-plus sacks from him. And the way he's working and the way he looks out there right now, he's becoming more natural and more instinctive as a rusher because he's not painting by the numbers, I call it, where it looks like 1, 2, 3. You know, he's more natural and his spins are quicker and more fluid and stuff. So they've got that. But are they Hall of Famers? No, there's no Hall of Famers out there.
But going back to what Chuck Smith said last year, you're going to identify a signature move, or are we starting to see that from Owe?
Always
second year with Smith, 4 years now in the league, believe
me. Yeah,
or not.
Always his spin back inside. I mean, to me, he's pretty effective at it, and he uses it a lot. So I expect against Kansas City, Bob, we're gonna see that early and probably often.
Let's get to the phones. Go to Ed and Towson. Ed, what's happening?
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
All right,
Vinny, with the right tackle situation. Do you think they're going? Are they going to say, okay, here's the starter, let's go with it, or are they going to have that cat on a pitch count? Because you are going to be dealing with. You're going to deal with more Chris Jones than Carlostas, and he's got to be licking his chops if you got a youngster up in there. But so who are they going to watch that close, or is that a situation where, okay, this is the guy that's going to do it, and, you know, we're just going to go with it? Or are they going to – you think they'll sub a tackle if Chris Jones becomes a problem?
Well, I think if Chris Jones is lined up over there, Ed, I think Ricard, they're not going to let those guys block one-on-one because it's not going to be fair. So, you know, you being an O-line coach, you know, that I would think that anytime Chris Jones is there, a back or Ricard is going to be helping Chip.
Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Vinny? What's up, Bob?
Hey. Trippy ain't seen you in a while,
good
man.
Good to be back.
Yeah, man. You know, I miss you at Pickles, man. But, hey, I know you'll be down there sometime.
I'll be there Thursday and Friday.
All right, I'll see you Friday then. But, look, this is my question, right? I heard y'all talking about Tez Walker. I don't think he's ready this year.
No. Because of the rib injury, it's really set him back. And the way that he's practicing right now, he can't help them.
But look, right, so I don't know if I told you this, Vinny. Like, I think this last time I went, when you had Charlie out there, I said it was two wide receivers I say I like. I like the dude Wade and Keith Kirkwood. Mm-hmm. Now, when I talk to Raven fans about that, Keith Kirkwood, what he done? But, I mean, Keith Kirkwood, he been balling out. You know what I mean? I can see him, like, contributing this year. And also Wade. I mean, I hope Wade make the team because I ain't going to lie to you. If Wade go through waivers, I don't know. A team might pick him up. What you think?
Well, Wade's been making plays. And I like Anthony. I think Anthony Miller's been playing well, too. Kirkwood just scares me just because he's a big receiver. Doesn't have a lot of speed. And I kind of like the quickness and explosiveness of Miller and with Wade more so than Kirkwood.
Yeah, Wade had that double move touchdown on Saturday. Nolan, I don't know if you have time for a full-on funhouse, but you want to say hi to the people over there?
Well, maybe going back to our Orioles point here, just with how quickly things change or how nothing is really certain in a baseball season, especially this year. It's been 3 weeks since the trade deadline. The Orioles made a ton of moves. Obviously, not all of them have panned out. Trevor Rogers and Gregory Soto come to mind as
Rogers.
Whiffs.
I was
so
wishing
far.
I couldn't see out of my left eye watching that game last week.
But they have made a good amount of moves that have worked out, either in a small capacity or a huge capacity, like Zach Eflin. And I remember at the time of the deadline, obviously it's Yankees and Orioles, who's going to take the division, who made the better moves to bolster their team for the stretch run. And it wasn't consensus, but I feel like a majority of people said, oh, the Yankees had a better deadline. They got the flashy name with Jazz Chisholm. People were propping up the Mark Leiter
addition. You would have thought they got Goose Gossage.
I didn't get that at the time because, you know, he was like a 4 ERA type of guy this year, but he was good last year, so you give him credit. Since he's gone to New York, 8 innings roughly, ERA's over 6. He gave up 2 runs last night, didn't even record an out. So,
awesome.
Again, it's been 3 weeks here. 3 more weeks, it could be complete reverse. Chisholm was good, but his could be a ticking time bomb with his injury. It sounds like they're going to let him play through it, but nothing is certain. Nothing is definite. The Orioles, again, they're in as bad as they are, in good a position as anybody to make a run here.
Is that Socrates over there? Nothing is certain. Confucius say. Confuse Bob. Oh, by the way, looks like Connor Norby's going to get the call up from the Miami Marlins, speaking of the trade deadline. Yeah. And Trevor Rogers pitching tonight, and can't get any worse, can it? Never mind. We'll come back, pay a little NFL lunch. Brian DiArda, CBSSports.com. Biggest challenger to the Chiefs in the AFC will be who? And is he all over that Houston bandwagon like a lot of team or a lot of experts seem to be as well?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.